Do you know the fastest growing religious group in the United States? Is it Roman Catholics? Nope. It's not Protestants either. Rather, it's those who mark none on religion's preference surveys. They don't belong to any particular denomination. They still believe in some sort of spiritual being and reality, but they don't believe and don't claim adherence to any particular religious group. The March issue of the Lutheran Witness picks up the question of the nuns. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
I've seen it asserted in the debate over transgender ideology that Christians really shouldn't have a position because Jesus never said anything about transgenderism. I think it's safe to say that the average person in first century Palestine would not even imagine what transgender ideology could be. It was completely out of their ken. But Jesus, of course, is God, and he anticipates all things. Does he have an answer to transgender ideology? Can it perhaps be found in his own resurrection and the promise of ours? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Jesus' answer to transgender ideology. Pastor Andrew Packer joins us. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and author of a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Resurrected Body. Andrew, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
I understand that we will be neighbors in the near future. Tell us about that.
Yes, I just recently accepted a call to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville there, just around the corner from you, and looking at closing on a house in Edwardsville here in April.
To our subject, how is the resurrection of Jesus central to the Christian faith?
Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ is not raised, then we are of all people to be most pitied that we're fools because we're still dead in our sins and headed for eternal damnation. And so if he's not raised, then everything's over for us. But Paul says he is indeed raised, and it teaches us that our sins are indeed forgiven. It assures us of that. It proves that he is indeed the true and only Son of God. And it proclaims that the Lord has conquered for us sin, death, and the devil and hell. And importantly for our discussion today, that our bodies will be raised up on the last day, just like Jesus' body was raised up.
What does Paul teach us about the resurrected body?
In 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us that what is sown is perishable, but what is raised will be imperishable. What is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. What is sown in weakness will be raised in power. That what's sown a natural body will be raised a spiritual body. And our Lutheran, especially I'm just stealing from Gerhard, really, and others say that that means that our resurrected bodies will have four attributes. They'll be glorified, powerful, spiritual, and heavenly.
What do those four attributes mean?
Yeah, so to be glorified, they say that we're going to be clothed with honor, splendor, and glory. They use the imagery of us shining like the sun from Matthew 13. To be powerful means that our bodies will be free from all sickness, disease, and pain, that our bodies will be spiritual, that they're going to be transformed and perfectly ruled and sustained by the Holy Spirit so that sin is gone, which I think we're all looking forward to. And then finally, our bodies will be heavenly, which has some overlap with glorified, shining perfectly with heavenly light and glory, but also then the added fact that our bodies will be whole, complete, and perfect. No sin, no vestiges of sin left, no suffering, none of that. All of that's gone, whole, complete, and perfect, just like Christ's resurrected body.
What does that resurrection have to do with our current battles against transgender ideology?
You know, when I was given this topic, Eastern transgenderism seems like an odd mashing together of things. And as I thought about it, I thought the resurrection actually is the central piece, I think, for how we discuss these things. It has everything to do with it, because that body of ours that goes into the grave is the same body that Christ is going to raise up. Job says, with my own eyes, I will see the Lord. And so that for us as Christians, if Christ is risen, and that means that our bodies will be raised, then it does teach us that our bodies do matter to the Lord, not just here and now, but for all eternity. This body he has given us is something he's going to preserve for all eternity.
You say that the body doesn't lie. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So God has given us, he's made us either male or female. Our anatomy, our DNA reveal these things, and it reveals what God has created us to be. That within that, God is giving us something important, and it reveals who he wants us to be now and for all eternity. Those bodies are going to be the very bodies that we love and serve him here on this earth, and the very bodies we're going to love and serve him with for all eternity. And in fact, as I thought about this, and if you really think about all of our vocations that we're in, there isn't one vocation that we have here in this life that we don't use our bodies. And sometimes that maleness or femaleness gives us a specific vocation. I am a husband because I'm a male. I'm a father because I'm a male. My wife is a wife because she's a female. She's a mother because she's a female. And so that even various aspects of our vocations are bound up with the fact that we're male or female. And not just now, but based on the resurrection of Christ and what that means for resurrection of our bodies, that's going to be true for all eternity as well.
Go into a little more detail about how our bodies place us in our earthly vocations.
Yeah, I mean, even like right now, right, we're having this conversation and we have to use our voices. When I take care of my children, I'm giving them hugs with my body. We serve everyone by using our bodies to accomplish those tasks. And we get these extremes sometimes, I think, in discussing some of these things where, you know, you'll have some Christians in various circles almost act as if the body doesn't matter at all, that you can almost a Gnostic view that we can just mistreat our bodies, misuse our bodies, not care much for them. And then maybe another extreme in our culture that almost worships the body and makes the body everything. Whereas for the Christian, we love and care for our bodies and treat them right because God is serving and loving the neighbor through us using our bodies to do those things. So no matter what I'm doing throughout the day, I'm using the very body God has given me to love and take care of and serve those he's placed around me in my various vocations. And for us, right, the Bible tells us we should take care of our bodies, not mistreat and abuse them, but actually care for them because it's through that very body that I'm going to love and serve the neighbors God has placed into my life.
Talk about how we're going to live forever after the resurrection as male and female.
I think this is something we don't think enough about. If it is true that our bodies are going to be raised up just like Christ's body is raised up, and we know from just reading scripture that he was still raised up as a man, as the perfect man. And my body goes into the ground, it goes into the body as a male. And when it's raised up, it'll be raised up as a male, but a fully complete and perfect, as we've heard, these attributes, male. All of those things will be gone, and I'll serve the Lord for all eternity in the new heavens and new earth as a male. That doesn't go away. It doesn't stop. It's who God made me to be. Who I am is bound up with the fact that God has made me a male and that he has saved and redeemed me as a male. And we shouldn't denigrate our maleness or femaleness as the culture does, because God cares enough about it to perfect it for all eternity.
What is the danger of thinking that the body doesn't matter?
I think the moment we think the body doesn't matter, we have those results all around us, whether it's abusing the body or, as we see with the transgender debates, what's going on at the core of that is a rejection that their bodies matter at all, that who they are really inside is different than what God has made them to be in their bodies, that they're not really an embodied soul, but they're just like a spirit or something trapped in this flesh, and then they have to get free from that to be their true selves. And so that their true self, their body has to be conformed to this. And so then they start sadly and horrifically even mutilating themselves to try to match who they think they are on the inside. And of course, that's the extreme end of things, but that's kind of where things logically lead. The less and less we see the importance of the body to who we are as an embodied soul, the less we think about our body mattering, you end up with thoughts like, well, who I am on the inside is completely different than who I am on the outside. And so I have to fix that. I have to change my body to match who I feel I am. And it becomes completely subjective, not based on the fact that God has objectively given us our bodies the way he intended to.
How do we proclaim this resurrection truth to those who are struggling with the sin of transgenderism?
Yeah, I think, as it says in Isaiah 56, that the promise there to the eunuchs, to those who are at that time mutilated as well, that if they hold fast to his covenants, he'll give them a house and a name. And as we look forward to the resurrection, if it's true for Christians, Christ would be glorified, powerful, spiritual, and heavenly. Then for the person who comes to us who has mutilated their bodies and says, what have I done? Because it can't be undone. I mean, that's one of the horrific things, even just recently in the news, was some of the comments going on between the president and the governor of Florida, Governor DeSantis, about this issue that those children or adults, when they've done these things, they can't undo them. But in the resurrection of the dead, Christ can. He can undo those things. He can heal that which has been broken, that which has been scarred, that which has been mutilated. He can and he will, for all those who are in Christ, he will raise them up and all of that will be fixed. And so while we can't offer them hope here and now that their bodies can be fixed, we can offer them hope that on the last day, Christ can and will fix those things. Here and now, he can give them forgiveness and salvation, and they can delight and rest in that. And they can look forward and know that even though I've done this thing, Christ can undo it, and it'll be undone for all eternity. And that is, I think, a beautiful hope and comfort that we can give to them as they, Lord willing, come to find true peace and comfort in Christ and not in their identity as a transgender person.
Pastor Andrew Packer is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and he's author of a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Resurrected Body. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
We'll be talking about the Academy Awards and the movie that took several of the Academy Awards, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, with Pastor Ted Geese next.
Issues, etc. listeners are needed to vote for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has the right to vote through a pastoral and a lay voter, two voters per congregation or parish. Voter registration must be completed by midnight central on March 19th of 2023. Request to be a voter at your congregation for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
Have you heard of the nuns? I'm not talking about Roman Catholic women who wear habits. Rather, I'm talking about those who mark none on religious preference surveys. It is the fastest growing religious group in the United States, and it's something we need to pay attention to. The March issue of the Lutheran Witness takes up this question regarding where they come from, what they believe, and how we can point them to Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. To learn more, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Lamb of God Lutheran, Papillion, Nebraska. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Forest Park, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Louisville, Minnesota. And Zion Lutheran, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.